رسول الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today إن شاء الله we'll be reading from باب ما جاء في صفة مغفر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. باب ما جاء في صفة مغفر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The chapter about regarding what is reported concerning the description of the Prophet Mighfar. What is Mighfar? Mighfar, simply put, is helmet. Mighfar, helmet. That is what you put on the head to protect the head. You know, we have helmets now that those who ride bikes wear. But that helmet, most times, this was what we had in mind. Because we know mighfar just means a helmet, something with which you protect your head. But this mighfar here I described is not that mighfar described. Yes, it is also an equipment to protect the head, but it is worn under the cap. Mighfar and sunnah is worn under the cap. You wear the mikfar, then you wear the cap on the mikfar, and it is usually like the cap. This that I'm saying, I did not know it until I read this hadith and the comments of the scholars on it. So yes, you call it a helmet because a helmet means something with which you protect the head against injuries and wounds. Yes, that's just the reason why you can call the mikfar a helmet. But it is not in the sense of the helmet that we know or that engineers wear. You know, engineers on site, they wear helmets. Cool. It's slightly also different in make from the helmet that those who ride bikes wear. So this helmet is also different in the manner of its make and wear and how it is worn. So the helmet mighfar means a helmet, and that's why there's a hadith that is going to give a problem if we don't actually understand the mighfar. The hadith, the two sets of hadith we'll read today, will give us a problem if we don't understand the mighfar and how it is. It says, دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة عام الفتح وعليه مكفر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم entered Makkah and he was wearing a mighfar. In another hadith, دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة عام الفتح وعليه عمامة. And he was wearing عمامة. The first hadith, hadith of Anas ibn Malik. The second hadith, hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Which one was he wearing? One report, he was wearing mighfar. Another report, he was wearing imama. So what is he wearing? So if you understand mighfar, that is the helmet, as the helmet that people wear today, there is no way you can combine the two reports. So ulama say he was wearing the helmet, he wore the cap on the helmet, and then the turban on top of the helmet. And thereafter he removed the turban. He removed the helmet. So we'll read them. We'll read the narrations, inshallah. So we would have problems understanding that hadith if we don't have a sound grasp basically of what the helmet it is that is being described in the hadith. The helmet that's being described in the hadith is not the helmet that you have in mind. The helmet in the hadith is like the helmet, like a cap that is worn under a cap, and then above it also you can also wear a turban and imama. I hope this is clear from the very beginning. So we'll be reading Sifatu Maja'a, Babu Maja'a fi Sifati Mighfari Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Those of us with without Mukhtasar, with Mutawwalat, the hadith is hadith 107. But for those of us with Mukhtasar, the hadith is hadith number 91. And if you look at the Mukhtasar again, the hadith is just one hadith. But those of us with Mutawwal, The hadith are two in number, but he combined the two hadiths because they are one and the same hadith. If you look at it, they are both from the hadith of Anas, Imam Malik and Ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri and Anas ibn Malik. The first one came uluwan. That is, there are only a few people between Imam al-Tirmidhi and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of them are Imam Qutaybah ibn Sa'id. Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, he said, Haddathana Malikun. He is reporting from Imam Malik, and Imam Malik from Imam al-Zuhri ibn Shihab, Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri. And then he was reporting from Anas ibn Malik. So there are few people in that chain of narration. Between Imam al-Tirmidhi, there's Qutaybah ibn Sa'id, there's Malik ibn Anas, there's Imam al-Zuhri and Anas ibn Malik. So this is not, this, they are the kind of asani that are referred to as what? Ruba'iyat. So this is Ruba'iyya. You see, between Tirmidhi and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many men do you have? Four. So it has ulum. It's more valuable to the scholars of hadith. The fewer the number of people in the chain of narration, the better the narration. But if you look at the second isnad, you have Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Namri al-Misri reporting from Imam Malik. And he himself, Isa ibn Ahmad, was reporting from him, from whom Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported the hadith. So there is an increment of how many men? The first is not Qutaybah ibn Sa'id and Malik. The second is not Isa ibn Ahmad and Ibn Wahab and Malik. What is the difference? Just one person. So say this one with respect to the first one is bin Nuzul. Rawahu Tirmidhi huna bimada bin Nuzul. Wa rawa al-awwal bimada bil ulu. He came down a little bit here, but they are one and the same hadith because they all come from Al-Imam Malik. Do you understand? It's the same hadith. Think like a muhaddith now. I want to convince you that it's one same hadith. The hadith of this hadith, they will say it is hadith Malik. This hadith, just one single hadith. And that's why in the Mukhtasar, it is blended as one single hadith. Do we understand? So, we will be reading from the Mukhtasar as one single hadith. It says on Anas ibn Malik, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دخل مكة عام الفتح. In your own, if you have other tahqiq, you will not say عام الفتح there. In the first riwayah, you see عام الفتح in the second one. Okay. We said he's blended the two. So دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة عام الفتح وعليه مغفر. فلما نزعه قيل له هذا ابن خطل متعلق بأستار الكعبة فقال اقتلوه. يفص حديث الأندياكو. قال ابن شهاب الزهري the second hadith. Check the second hadith. You see this that I'm going to read here now. قال ابن شهاب الزهري وبلغني أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لم يكن يومئذ محرما وبلغني أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لم يكن يومئذ محرما. In the hadith it says the hadith is hadith خادم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو من أبو حمزة رضي الله عنه أنس بن مالك. It says أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دخل مكة عام الفتح. He entered Mecca in the year of Fath. We know the year of Fath. The day that he came into Mecca. triumphantly. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa alayhi migfarun. On that day, as he was coming, he was wearing a migfar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing a helmet. Falamma naza'ahu. When he removed the helmet, qila lahu. It was said to him, Hada Ibn Khatalin muta'allikun bi astari al-Ka'ba. This is Ibn Khatal, Abdullah Ibn Khatal, or Abdul Uzza Ibn Khatal. We'll mention it, we'll explain inshallah. Muta'allikun bi astari al-Ka'ba. He is holding some to the covering, to the cloth of Ka'ba. That cloth is also called Kiswa. You know, the Kaaba is dressed, has a cloth. They change the cloth, you know? They change the dressing, right? It was reported in history that a woman started to stand for that. She was the one giving the money for that in the early times. So the Kaaba has a cloth. So Ibn Khattab went and held on to the cloth of the Kaaba. That is like saying, I am seeking refuge with Allah. Of course, he's seeking refuge in the house of Allah. He was a mushrik. We will explain, we'll mention about him, inshallah, Ibn Khattab. So they are telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hada Ibn Khattab muta'allikun bi astari al-Ka'ba. This is Ibn Khattab holding firmly to the covering of the Ka'ba. Faqala, so the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, Uktuluhu, kill him. Kill Ibn Khattab. So that's the end of the first one. Go check the second one. Qala ibn Shihab. Al-Imam ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri, who reported the hadith from Anas ibn Malik, said, وَبَلَغَنِي, it reached me, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ, لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُحْرِمًا, on that day, was not going to perform ihra, was not going to perform umrah. He was not in the state of Ihram. He was not going to perform Umrah nor Hajj. You know, if you are going to perform Umrah or Hajj from the Miqat, you are going to do what? What will you do? You come into Ihram, a state of consecration. You put on your Ihram, those two garments. Cool? You wear the two garments. But what actually gets you into the state of Ihram is not your wearing the garment, it's your proclamation. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً أو لبيك اللهم حجا أو لبيك اللهم حجا لا سمعة فيه ولا رياح. So you make this talbiya, and then it is when you make the talbiya that you are in the state of ihram. So they are saying the Prophet came into Mecca, he was not in the state of ihram. They are saying that, so don't wonder why he was wearing a cap, or he was wearing an imama, or he was wearing a mikfar. Do you understand? He's coming in, he was not in the state of Ihram. So, because if you wear a cap or a turban while you're in the state of Ihram, you are guilty to give a slaughter. So when he came into Makkah, he could be asked, why is he coming to Makkah and he's not in the state of Ihram? Yes, he did not intend Hajj nor Umrah. There are a lot of issues connected to that. So this is a literary look at that hadith. Anas ibn Malik said, don't forget, this chapter is Babu Maja'a fi sifati migfari Rasulillah. The chapter regarding how was the migfar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two things here. The first was that the Prophet also used to wear migfar. He didn't say, I'm messenger of Allah, Allah will protect me. He took what? Precautions. So take precautions, dear brothers, when taking precautions are appropriate. Don't say, ah, make tawakkul. Yes, take precaution for tawakkal Allah. It says, wa shawirhum fil amr. Wa iza azamta fa tawakkal. Connect them, consult first. Then when you decide and depend on Allah, you tell them to act first. Take an action. Then depend on Allah. So we are not people of Jabariya or Qadariya, as you may wish to call them. Those who don't believe that there is anything called asbab. They believe that everything that happens, man is jubila alayhi, it just happened to him like that. You have your place too in Qadr. you have mankind has his place in Qadr. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen, when he was explaining this in his Sharh of Usul al Thalatha, that mankind has a place in Qadr, he was saying that if you tell a man that there are two roads, the first road leads to a place of bliss and enjoyment. The road is a nice road, smooth. About every junction you get to, you find refreshment and all the nice things you describe. And you tell the man that, look, this road is rough, and it leads to the fire, it leads to this. In fact, armed robbers can attack you on the road, they can cut your hand, and they start describing. So when they tell you about the two roads, they now say, okay, pick one. Which one do you pick? Do you have a choice to pick? You have a choice. The same thing about Deen. That's where he would say, Inna hadaynahu sabila. He has told us about the two paths. He has told us the path to rightness, to righteousness. The path to righteousness has been described to us. Imma shakiran, will he be grateful and follow it? Wa imma kafura, or he will be rejecting and turn away. So we have choice. So from our choice, yes, we know that ma asaba min musibatin fil ard illa fi kitabin min qabl an nabraha inna dhalika ala Allahi yasir. We know it's written, but we don't know it. We don't know what is written. So we cannot make istijaj bil qadr qabla al wuku. You can say something has not happened to you, but it will happen because that is what has been written to you. That is rajmun bil ghaib. You are talking about what you don't see. You are talking about the unseen without knowledge. How do you know that something will reach your head if you don't protect your head? You don't know. How do you know that something will not reach your head? You don't also know. But so that it does not reach your head, your own aspect of it is that you take the precautions. First, you have a choice there. If it now reaches your head, then you can make istijaj with qadr, that there is qadr that it will reach my head. But before it reaches your head, you can't say it will reach your head because you don't know. So you still have a choice. If you go to a war, you still have a choice to protect yourself in case an arrow will come towards your direction. In case a stone will come towards your direction. If it now comes, you say, okay, Allah had written that it will come. But if it came while you had not prepared for it, you blame yourself. فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا كَثِيرٌ. So wearing mikfar shows to us that it is from the sunnah to protect ourselves when it is appropriate. It is from the sunnah to take means, to recognize the means to protection, and not say, oh, I depend on Allah, so there is no need for me to take precautions for whatever I need to do. Take precautions. That's why the one who tied his camel and came into the mat said, hey, have you tied it? So no, tie it. Tie the camel. And then rely on Allah. So from tying the camel is wearing what? The mikfar. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam alayhi salatu wasalam had a mikfar that he wore. Like we mentioned, he also had what, a dir that he would wear. His dir was long. Sometimes he would wear how many dir? Alayhi salatu wasalam. So take precautions, ikhwan. Take precautions. And despite the fact that he was wearing two dir, perhaps that day he was wearing a mikfar, he still got injured. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So but take precautions first. And then relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rest of it. So the first benefit in this hadith is that the Prophet had a mikfar that he wore. One. Two, we should seek means to achieve our ends and not say we are relying on Allah without taking appropriate means towards the issues of reliance, generally speaking. So it says The Prophet alayhi salatu salam came to Makkah wa alayhi mikfar, so he was wearing mikfar. فَلَمَّا نَزَأَهُ, when he removed the mikfar, the Prophet later removed the mikfar. Of course, ulama say he was wearing the mikfar in the first place because yes, he did not intend a war, but the kuffar can just change and start to attack them. So he took precautions, alayhi salatu salam. They could start stoning them, catapulting and all that. So he took precautions of wearing a mikfar. So when he removed the mikfar, kila lahu, it was said to him, Hada Ibn Khatalin. This is Ibn Khatal. Ibn Khatal, his name was Abdul Uzza. Ibn Khatal. When he accepted Islam, his name was changed to Abdullah Ibn Khatal. So he had somebody who was a Muslim, the Prophet sent with him to go and discharge a responsibility. He killed that one and ran away and left Islam. And he had told us, alayhi salatu salam, that man baddala deenahu faqtuluhu. The one who leaves Islam, al-mufarikun lil jama'ah. You remember that hadith? So his hadith is to be killed. So he left Islam and killed a Muslim. So the hadith was placed on him. So he's hanging on to the Kaaba. Ulama say, is just for him, khawfan min al-maut, la imanan minhu. It was just that he was afraid, if I hang myself here, maybe they will be afraid of the Lord of this house and they will not kill me. Not because he believed in the Lord of the house. The Lord of the house had told him before, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So he went and hung himself on the Kaaba. The Prophet said, اُقْتُلُوهُ, kill him. So he was killed. Ibn Khattab was killed. Haddan. Just like anyone who commits mutiny now. You go to Asurok and say you want Jonathan out. He's a gun. They call you, say, what do you want? Say, I'm the new president of Nigeria. If you say that, that is mutiny. They have a gun, they see you. Or perhaps you even shot 1, 2, 3 people. I don't know what presidential pardon is. Yes, they can have give presidential pardon, cool, but they may not give you. So that was why they asked for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were asking, look at this person. He is hanging himself to kill him. He should still be killed. So Ibn Khattal was killed. So he had accepted Islam. He went out of Islam. Sorry for him. And then he killed a Muslim. So for two reasons, he is qualified to be killed. The first reason, he left Islam. The second reason, he killed a Muslim. So he was killed. So the Prophet said they should kill him. The point of reference in this hadith, let's not forget, is what? The use of mikfar. Qala Ibn Shihab, Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Muslim, Ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri said, وَبَلَغَنِي أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُّ سِرَ هَذِهِ أَيُّ سُورَةٍ هَذِهِ. Which surah is this? Which surah is this? بَلَغَنِي زُهْرِي يَقُولُ بَلَغَهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ فَعَلَ كَذَا كَذَا كَذَا. Which surah is this? Huh? Munkati is too wide. Mursal! This is Irsal. Zuhri tabi'i. Ma rawahu tabi'iyun anil Rasul. Fawa mursal. A tabi'i is saying Prophet did something. It reached me. Now in kitab, but you are not specific. In kitab could be idol, could be ta'liq. Cool? And inqita' itself will have its own meaning in its place again. And it could still be tajlis. There are four or five things under munqati'. Yeah, and if you take inqita' generally speaking. Anyway, we are trying to say there's a break in link, that's what he said, between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri. Ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri is a tabi'i. He did not witness the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for him to say something, it reached me. Who told you? You have to tell us who told you. Because from the conditions the scholars of hadith have placed is that they must know everybody in the chain of report. Because that person may be a weak reporter or a reliable reporter. So when he says balagani, it reached me from who? Until you can answer this question, the hadith is considered weak. And that's why our Morus Marasil Zuhri Karish. When Imam Zuhri brings reports like this, they are not authentic. In any case, he tries to make us understand that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not in the state of ihram. So that you don't say if somebody is coming into Makkah, two reasons, two rulings will follow this. You don't say if somebody is coming to Makkah and is not intending Hajj or Umrah, that he cannot come into Makkah. That if somebody may not be intending Hajj, is not intending Umrah, he can still enter Makkah. This is one of the rulings Al-Imam al-Shafi'i has deduced from this hadith. Somebody may not be intending Hajj, and he may not also be intending Umrah, and he could come into Makkah if he is having a haja inside Makkah, like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In this trip, he came, he went out again. So if you have a need to come into Makkah, like during the time of Hajj, there are some officials who help pilgrims at the airport, for example, in Jeddah. Some of them can come into Makkah 10-15 times daily, because usually they don't sleep. Every hour, every 10-15 minutes, a plane is landing. Every 10-15 minutes, a plane is landing. I think that's about second or the third largest airport in the world, King Abdulaziz Airport in Jeddah. So they always have a need. Help pilgrims move here and there. So these people could go and come into Makkah for as long as they have a need, without having to say, oh, they have to go to Miqat, take on Ihram and come into Makkah, finish Umrah before they can do what they have to do in... You know, this deen is easy. الدين يسر ولا يشاد أحد الدين إلا غلبه. This deen is easy. Imagine if this ruling is not there and people have to, each time they have to come into Makkah, they have to first of all wear ihram, wear this, come make tawaf. Perhaps the matawaf is filled up with people, they join them, 1-15. I am telling you, if you finish that tawaf, you finish sa'yu 7 times, you are tired. In fact, you'll be looking for a bed to sleep, go. You'll be looking for somewhere to rest. And if it's in the masjid, you stay like this, you will sleep well. You will not know that you have slept. Perhaps maybe the time of Salah, you hear that they have called Adhan. Or when there's a rush, people rush towards where you are and you are forced to stand up. So the deen is easy. So you can come, a person can come into Makkah for as long as he has needs inside Makkah, to and fro, without wearing ihram. What is the evidence? دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة عام الفتح وعليه مكفر. Because the muhrim will not wear a mikfar. Do we understand this hadith? It's a very interesting hadith. We can go to the next bab. باب ما جاء في Imamati Rasulullah. The chapter regarding what has been reported about the Prophet's Imamah. Imamah. Nobody is wearing an Imamah today. No Imamah today. What do we call it here?
Lawani.
No Lawani today. وعليه إمامة. He entered Makkah and was wearing إمامة. Nobody is wearing إمامة today. So for those of us with other nusakh, we have hadith 109. Cool. But for those of us with muftasar, the hadith is 92. That statement of Al-Imam al-Zuhri, yes, that his own riwayah is mursal, but it has a riwayah musnad sahih from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, not from Anas ibn Malik. And that is reported by Imam Muslim in his sahih. دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوم الفتح مكة وعليه عمامة بغير إحرام وعليه عمامة بغير إحرام but Imam al-Tirmidhi did not bring it under the chapter of what? Mighfar, because it was talking about what? Imama. Otherwise, that he was not in Ihram is stated in that riwayah of who? Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari in Sahih Muslim. I hope that issue is clear, inshallah. So that statement of Imam al-Zuhri that Balagani, yes, is mursal and da'if, but it has an isnadu, musnadun sahih. التي بها تقبل الرواية والخبر وتستنبط منه. So don't say, why am I saying that that statement of Imam al-Zuhri is mursal and da'if, and then we are basing a ruling on it. Yes, that riwayah, that report is, transmission is weak, but what is transmitted is authentic. So what do we call this second report? The report of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. What do we call it? Shahid. Oh, you have become muhaddithun now. This is hard. He says it is shahidun ma'nawiyun. Is being more specific. That is a corroborating report. But it is corroborating the meaning of the report of Imam al-Zuhri. So that's why we took rulings from it. Alhamdulillah. So the next bab is Babu Maja fi Imamati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like we discussed what mighfar is. Imama is a head cover. Some of the scholars of Arabic language say whatever is used to cover the head is called imama. But it's just like the use of the word khimar too. Khimar is whatever covers something. Whatever is covering something linguistically is called khimar. But you know, in language, you can say a head cover. A head cover could be a cap. The head cover could be a veil. The head cover could be a mask. The head cover could be, but it's still under the name head cover. That is how we should understand the word imama linguistically. But technically it means something else. Do we understand? Just like we can say the calf is a head cover. But when you say head cover, it could mean many more than a calf. Do we understand? So the same thing comes for imama. Imama, generally speaking, means something that covers the head. But when you say imama in the Sharia and in the Urf, in the way, what is known more for what imama is, it is not necessarily referring to what? A cap or a khimar, a kina. The kina is what the brother is wearing. That is called a kina. The brother is wearing kina there. They call it shimag too. But I've not seen the kalima shimag in hadith. You see kina in hadith. So imama is the turban that we have known, turban. That's imama. So Babu ma ja'a fi imamati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The chapter about what has been reported concerning the Prophet's what? Turban. So the first point of benefit here is that the Prophet used to wear what? A turban. It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to wear a turban. Yes, Arabs would wear a turban before Islam. They used to wear turbans before Islam. Just like they used to wear rings too before Islam. They wore rings before Islam. They wore clothes before Islam. So the Prophet came too and was wearing it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you wear an imama, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear imama, that becomes a sunnah for you. Just like if you wear a ring now, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to wear a ring, it becomes a sunnah for you, tashri'iyya. But the aslu of that sunnah is sunnatun aadiyya. Do we understand? The sunnah, the basic ruling concerning wearing rings, is that it's just something that he liked to do, alayhi salatu wasalam. But he was forced to do. Because the reason why he started using the ring, don't forget, was to do what? to seal his letters or stamp them. Now look, if you don't do that, they'll say, okay. So he will wear it sometimes, and sometimes he will not wear it. Cool? And sometimes he would wear it on his right, and sometimes he would wear it on his left. But what he would wear was what? Silver. He wore gold, he threw it away. He took silver. And it was written on it, Muhammadun Satrun Rasulun Satrun Wallahu Satrun. This was how his ring was, alayhi salatu. And it has a fos, a stone. I tried to remember this word when we read those ahadith. The ring and its stone. His ring had a stone made of what? Chalcedony. Or of what? Or silver. Because it said, وَكَانَ فَصُّهُ أَوْ فُصُّهُ أَوْ فِصُّهُ مِنْ فِدْبَطِنْ. So if you wear a ring now, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to wear a ring, like it was reported from those companions and their students, if you remember, it is sunnah for you. You'll be getting reward for it. That's why if you want to get reward for wearing rings, you must not wear the ring on the first finger, nor on the mid finger, nor on the what is called ring finger. If you want to have reward for your rings, if you want to follow sunnah of ring wearing, you must not wear it on the ring, the three fingers. In fact, if you wear it on the middle finger, you'll be sinning. Because the Prophet prohibited us to wear rings on the mid finger. And we've explained this. But we are just trying to explain how a sunnatun adiyah can become sunnatun tashri'iyah. That is a sunnah of a habit he had, alayhi salatu wasalam. That is not in itself religion, could become religion. It is not basically religion, but it will become religion if you do it religiously. So it is its religiosity that we're trying to explain about rings. What makes it religion? Like sleeping. Sleeping is not religion. Sleep. Everybody sleep. Kafir sleep. Mu'min sleep. Mushrik sleep. Kuba kuba. Socialist sleep. Idiots also sleep. Everybody sleeps. But when you sleep as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to sleep, then in your sleep you are having ibadah. If you perform Salatul Isha in Jama'ah and Salatul Subhi when you sleep, you are having ibadah for sleeping. If you make wudu to sleep, you have reward for sleeping. If you read Ayat al-Kursi, you have reward. So you see what is basically ada, custom of human beings, is now becoming what? Religion. So the same thing with the use of imama. It is basically not religion, but it can be religionized with your intention. How do you do that? You customize it, go? You can customize wearing turbans. One, by wearing it the way the Prophet used to wear it, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the intention of following the Prophet. These are the two conditions for what? Ibadat. Al-niyya, yani ikhlasu niyya, lillahi wal-mutaba'a. Again, it's for the sake of Allah, to follow the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then you do it the way the Messenger used to do it. So your wearing turban becomes what? Sunnah. So you ask me, how did the Prophet used to wear it? Because people wear turbans in many ways today. Don't forget, I told you that turbans, people wore it before Islam. And people are still wearing it even after Islam. So if you want to make it religious, you must follow the manner of the Prophet wearing it and intend to follow the Prophet by your wearing it. This matter is very important. Because some of the people think that if you don't wear imama, then you are not being a good Muslim. No. Just like, I don't have a ring now. But nobody has accused me that, Ustaz, you are not following sunnah, you are not wearing a ring. Ring. Somebody was telling me that this sunnah, yes, it is sunnatun adiyah, but we've not been making it, we've not been converting it to sunnatun tashri'iyah for ourselves. You hardly see people who are sunnah wearing rings. But our Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to wear rings. Not just rings, silver rings. So the same way. So it is not something else. They are not wearing imama. They are imam now, small imam. No. So if they look at your hands and they say, ah, Ustaz, you two, you are not wearing ring. Your imam too now. Nah, fake imam. You see, a lot of problems will start coming in. You'll be asked questions you can't find answers for. Some of the people, if you stand in the frontal row, they'll push you back because you are not wearing an imama. Some people are wearing imama, but they are dragging their trousers on the ground. I can't step below the levy. To drag the trousers on the ground is haram. But they don't do that. There are people like that. That is their own religion, more so amongst the Yorubas. There are a sect of people, a group of people. The imama, the amaim, could be as big as the house. We'll read some ahadith about that, why they are doing it. But those ahadith are mawdu'at. We'll read it today. That's why I brought all these books. They are contained in the books. Those ahadith are fabricated narrations. They are not ascribed to the Messenger, alayhi salam. Al-Imam Abdurrahman Mubarakpuri was saying in Tuhfat al-Ahwazi that there is not a single hadith that shows that there is a virtue in wearing imama. No single hadith. The only virtue, if you want to have virtue for wearing imama, is the Prophet is to wear imama. I want to wear imama, alayhi salatu wasalam. Just like the virtue in wearing a ring is the Prophet used to wear a ring, I want to wear a ring. But to say anybody who wear a ring, Allah will create for him 50 rings from the rings of Al-Jannah. Don't wear a ring, there is nothing like that. Just like they say, if you tie a turban on your head, the bigger the turban, the more nur you have on the day of Qiyamah. It is one of the fabricated ahadith. So they say they want to have many nur. People in Jamaat al-Tabligh used to say this nonsense. He says, the bigger your turban, somebody said it to me before, if your turban is big, more nur, yawmul qiyamah. So you see a man, the small head is there, he's carrying his turban like San Siro Stadium on his head. This is not Islam. And what should be the length of the turban? We'll come to them, inshallah. Because people used to say there should be particular length. If it's not, people, somebody told me that before. If it's not up to 40 cubits, or they will start telling you, the Sheikh said, Imam Mubarakpuri. No, it's not Sheikh Albanio. Before him, rahimahullah, our imam has started saying it. We read them to us what they said. That there is no single hadith that says this should be the length of imama. No single hadith. Sahih from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that your imama should be 40 cubits. No. From the Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam, nothing like that. So let's come back to the ahadith. It is good to give us a background of what impressions we have already about the use of turbans. The first hadith is the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhuma. One of those companions who lived very long. We always talked about him. رضي الله عنهما. He says, دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وعليه عمامة سوداء. دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وعليه إمامة سوداء. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam entered or arrived Mecca. He arrived Mecca on the day of Fath. Wa alayhi imamatun sawda. And he was wearing a black turban. But in the first one, wa alayhi migfarko, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar went and brought a riwayah. Yeah, it said, Dakhala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam makkata wa ala ra'asihi al-migfar wa kanat al-imamatu al-sawda fawqa al-migfar. This resolves the matter. Ibn Hajar wrote a riwayah that wa kanat al-imamatu fawqa al-migfar. The turban, this black turban, was on top of the mikfar. So how did they know that he wore a mikfar? Don't forget, in the first hadith, فَلَمَّا نَزَعَهَا, He now opened the turban and removed the mikvah. So the one who said when he came in he was wearing a mikvah, did he make a mistake? The one who said when he came in he was wearing imamah, did he make a mistake? This is the way scholars of hadith are. They will trace it down, 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 down. So a mikvah is not the helmet that is big that riders wear. It means a mikvah like just a cap. They wear it under their turbans or under their caps, and then they tie the turbans. So that's how a mikvah is. So دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وعليه عمامة سوداء. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام came to Mecca, entered Mecca, or arrived Mecca on the day of Fath, and he was wearing a black turban. So this is evidence that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام wore turbans. عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Muslims, other Muslims wore turbans. And that is why when he was talking about ihram in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, "La yalbasu al-muhrimu al-qamis." A person in ihram should not wear qamis, that is a garment. Go. Wala al-imama. He should not also wear what? Imama. It means that imama is something that was known. It's like saying nobody should come with a shirt to office tomorrow. Ah, things start. You should not wear shirt. Nobody will ask, what do you mean by shirt? Because we already understand what a shirt is. So when the Prophet ﷺ said to them, nobody should wear a garment or a turban, they didn't ask him, what do you mean by turban? Because it was something known amongst them. So this is evidence that wearing turban was known amongst the Muslims. That's the reason why those who say it is obligatory for a woman to veil her face, they are saying that it was a known sunnah that women veil the face in the time of the Prophet. So as he said regarding imama and qamis, he said also alayhi salatu wasalam, la yalbasul muhrima, la talbasul mar'atul muhrimatul niqab wala al-qafazain. A Muslim woman in ihram should not wear a face veil, and she should not wear what? Hand gloves. Aha. Ulama says things it was known amongst them. They used to wear face veils and hand gloves. Even when Aisha said radiallahu anha that when men came close to them, they used to drop the veil. Go in Sunan Abi Dawud. It says, وَإِذَا جَاءُونَ أَوْ حَازُونَ أَفْدَلَتْ إِحْدَانَا جِلْبَابَهَا مِنْ فَوْكِ رَأَسِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِهَا فَإِذَا جَاوَزُونَا كَشَفْنَا. When they come near us, we drop it. When they go away, we raise it up again. It means for something known. There are a lot of reports, guys. What we want to say that imama was known, wearing turbans was known. That's why the Prophet was telling them that if you come to perform umrah, don't, or you are in the state of ihram, don't do what? Don't wear your imama. So what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the day of Fath, dakhala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Makkah yawm al-fath wa alayhi imamatun sayda. So the first benefit is that imama was known and the Prophet was wearing it alayhi salatu wasalam. The second point of benefit is that he would wear black. Some people don't like black today. You see, why are women wearing black hijab? Black, black, black. Why don't you like black? More so for women. And Umm Salama reported hadith and mentioned that the women used to wear black. Yes, the hadith is authentic. In the time of the Messenger, alayhi salam. Nobody is saying they should not wear any other color, but they used to wear black. And black is astar for her, it's more covering for her. Not the very transparent thing women wear today, and each time a breeze is blowing, they start, you know, doing as if they are fighting the boxing. They wear black, thick black clothes that covers them, and it's not showing any part of the body, because from the conditions of covering awrat is that the clothes must be thick, and it must not be transparent, and it must not be what? It must not be showing the parts by way of being tight or by way of being what? Transparent. So imama was known and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was wearing black sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith is just close to it, so let's read it and mention some benefits regarding it too. And that is the hadith of Amr ibn Hurayth. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خطب الناس عليه إمامة سوداء. That the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام addressed the people. That's also يوم الفتح. The same hadith. He addressed the people and was wearing a black turban. And that's why some of the companions like Abdullah ibn Zubayr, anytime when he wants to address the people, he wears black turban. The same thing Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. The same thing Ammar ibn Yasir. He was Imam in Kufa. So when he stood up to address the people, he would do what? He would, you see how they do it? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam khataba al-nas wa alayhi imamatun sawda fahum yakhtubuna al-nas wa alayhim imamatun aw amaim al-sawda. You see the companions, the Prophet, when he addressed the people, he was wearing black turban. So when they stand up on the minbar to address the people also, they wear black turbans. So this is how to make something that is not basically a sunnah to become what? Sunnah. What I mean sunnah, I don't mean a practice of the Prophet, because you can come and start telling me that sunnah means whatever the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sunnah that I'm referring to is something that is tashri'iyya. Because there are different indices of classifying sunnah. You could use the index of, is that sunnah from the sunnah of sharia or from the sunnah of Ada? You can also use the index of, where is the sunnah coming from? Is it coming from his statements? Is it coming from his actions? Or it is coming from his approvals? So when you say where the sunnah is coming from, that is when you can say tying turban is sunnah, because it is from his actions and everything that he did is called sunnah. But if you bring the issue back into sharia and Ada, where does it fall? It falls basically in Ada, but you can bring it and convert it into what? Sharia, by those two things, your ikhlas and your mutaba'ah. Do we understand these matters? Very, very important. So, Amr ibn Hurayth said, خَطَبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ إِمَامَةٌ. So that the Prophet was wearing a black imama. One of the scholars who have written on Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, his name is Sumayh Abbas. He did a sharh or ta'liq on Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, and he referred to it as what? Awsaful Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he got to this hadith, he made a comment, and I think it's beneficial that we mention it to us. He says, فيه دليل على مشروعية إمامة السوداء. He said, this is evidence for the permissibility in the Sharia of wearing what? Black turbans. غير أنه يستحب البياض. Even when we are encouraged, or that it is encouraged to wear what? White. Why? ألبس البياض. Because it is أطيب وأحسن وإلى. And use of turban is also from what? Libas. So they make qiyas from that. Do we understand? So yes, but he doesn't mean he did not wear any other clothes. Like when he said that we should wear white, but we saw his best colors are not even white. So it meant yes, preferably we should wear white, but it doesn't mean we cannot wear any other color apart from white. Similarly, it is permissible to wear black turbans, but it is preferable to wear white, because generally we are encouraged to wear white clothes more than any other color. I hope we get this. In the kathirin min al-ulama, this is the position of many of the scholars. رُبَّمَا لِأَنَّهَا أَصْبَحَتْ مُظْهِرًا سِيَاسِيًّا. Maybe perhaps the black turban has become muzhiran siyasiyan or mazhabiyan, has become a way of showing their political position or a particular school of line of thought. That is now, the scholars prefer us to use white. Of course, there is general encouragement for white over any other color. And maybe because the use of black now, turbans, has become a show, a way that a group of people show themselves. Kama taf'al shi'a. Like the Shia do. فَهُوَ لَا يُدَاوِمُ عَلَى لُبْسِ الْإِمَامَةِ السَّوْدَةِ. And that's why the Prophet was not wearing black all the time. So you could wear another color. If you know Shia are commonly known to wear black, you could wear another color. Even when those who wear black more now, they don't explain from amongst the people of Sunnah, they don't explain their use of black. These things should be explained so that people know the things in their right places. So he said, many of the scholars will not wear black because it became a show, muzhiran siyasiyan aw mazhabiyan, kama taf'al shi'a. Like the Shia did, it became something to know a group of people political, with a political idea or with a particular school of thought, like it is known for the Shia. So that was why many of those scholars, the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was not wearing black at all times. So you too can change and wear white, and wear black only sometimes. So this is what is common with the scholars. They will wear white more, and they wear black sometimes, so that people don't think that it is prohibited to wear black. So, but if you know, in this environment, more so now that this Shia, they began to get stronger now. They're gathering more now, all across the country. You know, they exploit situations. Yes, most of the people of the Sunnah now are bothered with what should not bother them. When people bother with what does not bother you, what should bother you will happen and you will not know. That's why when you drop a sunnah, an innovation will come. People are bothered about who is a president, who is not a president. People bother, we beg Allah to give us the best of those who will rule us. So when we get bothered with all those things, and then people start rising, and then people, everybody will be in tension. They gather now. They gather, they talk, they do so many things in their blacks and reds. Oh, you've not noticed it? They're mobilizing. Even in the Southwest recently, there was a specific daura about this issue, that they're scared now that the Shia are spreading. In Bahrain, who are those causing trouble in Bahrain? They are the ones. Who are those, the majority of those causing problems in Yemen and Syria? People don't know. They think that it's all democracy shouting. And in Egypt now, they want to start giving them trouble again. So they are also mobilizing in the name of democracy. So those who want to die because of democracy should know what evil they are bringing about. Islam does not allow that any religion should do just spread like that. No. Yes. Just like a doctor cannot allow cancer to spread just like that. If it makes sense that cancer should not spread just like that, then Kufu and other inherafat in deen should not be allowed to spread. Whatever justification you allow, you give for not allowing cancer to spread all over the body is the same justification we have to say that people should not allow evil to spread. And from the things that should not be allowed to spread are these ideas. So it is safer not to wear those colors often so that you are not classified and categorized for those people, like this Sheikh said. So that's it about that hadith. We go to the next hadith back. The hadith of Amr ibn Hurayth said that anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam khatab an-nas wa alayhi imamatun sawda. That is the 111th hadith. For the rest of us, go. But for those of us with muftasar, that is the 93rd hadith. The next hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. All the ahadith we've been reading are sahih. It says the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha tamma sadala imamatahu bayna katifayhi. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إذا اعتم صدل إمامته بين كتفيه. This tells us about the sifa of Imam Ali, the sifa of his making ta'min, his tying the turban. Ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhu, kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, iza tamma, when he ties his turban, it means sometimes he doesn't tie the turban. Look at the hadith properly. Kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, iza tamma, when he does make his turban, it means sometimes he does not tie the turban. So when we say sometimes he does not tie the turban, if you tell us to bring the hadith, we tell you is a turban. When he ties turban, he says sometimes he does not tie the turban. Alayhi salam. Sadala imamatahu. He drops his imama bayna katifayhi, between his two shoulders. Like that. He drops his imama bayna katifayhi. Abdullah ibn Salam is one of the students of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. He said, Qultu li ibn Umar. This hadith is reported by Imam al-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Awsat, and the ulama have mentioned variously that the hadith is authentic. If you check Tuhfat al-Ahwadi, the tahqiq of the taba of Maktabat al-Tawfiqiyya, it is mentioned that the hadith is authentic. Ibn Hajar also mentioned it in Fathul Bari. Al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Haytami also mentioned it in Ashraful Masail fi Fahmi al-Shama'il. This hadith. To tell us how did the Prophet used to tie the turban itself. So Abdullah ibn Salam said, Qultu li ibn Umar. I said to Abdullah ibn Umar, Kayfa kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam ya'tamu. How did the Prophet used to tie his turban? Qala, he said, he answered that, Kana yudiru kawrat al-imama. He used to turn the rounds of the imama. Ala ra'sihi, on his head. Wa yagrizuha, and then he would put it inside, min wara'ihi, from behind him. Wa yarakha lahu da'ubatan, and he would drop an imama, an alama. What you call alama, ko? That's the meaning of da'uba. It's also called azba. It says, وَيَرْخَى لَهُ دَعُوبَةً بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ. And then he will drop one alama for it between his two shoulders. He said, alayhi salatu, يُدِيرُ قَوْرَةَ الْإِمَامَ. He turns the rounds of the imama on his head, ala ra'sihi, وَيَجْرِزَهَا مِنْ وَرَائِهِ. And then he puts it, or وَيَجْرِزُهَا مِنْ وَرَائِهِ, and then he puts it inside from behind, وَيَرْخَى لَهُ دَعُوبَةً. He drops one alama for it, بَيْنَا كَتِفَيْهِ, between his two shoulders. That's how the Prophet wears his turban. He ties it, he puts it inside from behind, and he drops it on his shoulders. Ibn Umar said so. So that's why here he is saying that كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا أَعْتَمَّ سَدَلَ عِمَامَتَهُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ. If he ties turban, he drops the imama between his shoulders. عليه الصلاة والسلام. قَالَ نَافِعٌ. Who? You know who Nafi' is? Who is Nafi'? Mawla ibn Umar. The fifth slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. He fought for that name to remain with him forever. Abdullah Nafi', Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. He wanted to remain Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar forever. Because you know he was a student of Ibn Umar for about 22 years or thereabouts. Over 20 years, he was following Abdullah ibn Umar anywhere he wanted. He was learning Islam from Ibn Umar. Of course, Ibn Umar is from one of the most learned amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in the gathering, the Prophet asked a question. Nobody knew him except him, knew it except him. He said, but I didn't answer because my father was there, Abu Bakr was there, there are big people there. So he went and told the Prophet. The Prophet said, why didn't you answer? His father told him that, look at this boy, why did you not answer when the Prophet asked? He knew what others did not know. This hadith is in Adab al-Mufrad of Imam al-Bukhari. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So Nafi was following him. Look, the ulama, from the greatest benefits of being with them is learning from them. If you have an alim around you, make the opportunity that anytime you are with him, you are benefiting something. Make him say something. You'll be gaining. So when he died, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, his children wanted to sell him. And you know, if they sold him, he becomes Mawla to whomever they sold it to. Not Mawla, Mawla Ibn Umar. So he threatened them. He said, "Inbi'tumuni bi'tum uluma abikum. If you sell me, you sell your father's knowledge. They live in like that. I'm your father's knowledge. If you sell me, you sell your father's knowledge. How can they sell their father's knowledge?" So they left him. So he became Nafi, Mawla Ibn Umar forever. He wants Ibn Umar to be attached to his name. It's like saying Major General, no retired, no ROTD there. No ROTD, Major General till death. Or Field Marshal till death. Radiallahu anhu. So they cherish that. So anytime you call Nafi, you must call who? Ibn Umar. I must say Radiallahu anhu. Not only him, we call his father Umar too. Sani Umma Bada Nabiha. The second person in the Ummah after its messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, it's Umar. So the sharaf, the honor goes back to who? Nafi. Look at those people, they want to be connected to powers. Make me say if I enter, when they talk to Umar, me I date me. So if you must mention Nafi, you must call Umar. You may not even call Abdullah. If not for the Ibnu that is there, you'll be connecting Nafi and Umar. Radiallahu. So he made sure that name remained. So he said, Wakana Ibn Umara Yafali Dalik. So Ibn Umar used to do that. He used to tie his turban, ويسجل إمامته بين كتفيه, and drop his imama between his two shoulders, as he reported that the Prophet used to do. You see them again? There is still sila coming, ko? قال Ubaydullah Ibn Abdullah Ibn Umar, because Abdullah Ibn Umar had children, Bilal, he had Abdullah, he had Ubaydullah, he had Salim, ko? So from them is who? Ubaydullah Ibn Abdullah Ibn Umar. He said, وَرَأَيْتُ الْقَاسِمْ Ibn Muhammad, that is Qasim Ibn Muhammad Ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Muhammad Ibn Abi Bakr al-Siddiq is one of the brothers of Aisha radiallahu anha. So he had a son called Al-Qasim. It is Al-Qasim about whom Ubaydullah is speaking. That, and Salim, wa Saliman. Salim is Salim Ibn Abdullah Ibn Umar. Do you understand? So they are saying that Yaf'alani Zalika. I saw the two of them doing that too. That is, they'll make a timam, and they'll make sadum. They will drop one of the alama of the imama on their two shoulders. It comes from behind them, as we described in that hadith, and it puts it on their shoulders, between their shoulders. So that is the way to wear turban. Let's read this hadith and we come back to the issue of imam. That is the last hadith in the bab. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خطب الناس وعليه عمامة دفنا. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم addressed the people. He gave a sermon. وعليه عمامة دفنا. And he had an imama that is stained with oil. You know, he used to oil his hair, alayhi salatu wasalam. So when he tied his turban, he had stains on it. How did he used to tie his turban? You know now. Most of those people who say now that people don't have iman because they don't tie a turban, they don't tie a turban like this. They tie a turban like a Fulani herdsman. They tie a turban and bring one thing like what do you call this? A rope under the chin, and they do so many things. If you ask them who used to tie turban like this, so they tie turban as a culture, custom, rather than tying turban as a sunnah. So we mentioned those issues about turban. And Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah in his sharh of Muhazzab called Al-Majmu'a, he said, إرسال العزبة إرسالا فاحشة فاحشا كإرسال الثوب يحرم للخيلاء. إرسال العزبة, when you drop that imama, إرسالا فاحشا, in a very bad way, كإرسال الثوب, you make it as long as your jalabiya. He said, if you do that للخيلاء, for pride, to say, you see this lawani, you know how much I buy one yard, so you tie 40 yards للخيلاء, to show that then they يحرموا, it is what? Haram. Because he said, من جر ثوبه خيلاء, the one who drags his garment out of pride, Allah will not look at him, he will not speak with him, and he'll be from the people of the fire. Cool? So don't tie your turban. Say, oh, they talk about trousers alone, so turban can long like that. No. Imam al-Nawawi said that. He says, wa yukrahu li ghayrihi, if it is not for the sake of pride, it's just that he is thinking that there's one big reward, it is makruh, don't do it. It's discouraged. That's the first point. The second point, Al-Imam al-Suyuti rahimahullah said, وَأَمَّا مِقْدَارُ الْعِمَامَةِ الشَّرِيفَةِ فَلَمْ يَثْبُتْ فِي حَدِيثٍ. The Prophet's imama, alayhi salatu wasalam, مِقْدَارُهُ, its length, لَمْ يَثْبُتْ فِي حَدِيثٍ, it's not established in any hadith. To say the Prophet's turban was of a particular length, it is not established in any hadith. And Al-Imam al-Baqiri said, لا بد لمن يدعي أن مقدار إمامته كان كذا وكذا من الذراع أن يثبته بدليل صحيح. لا بد, there is no passageway, no anything any person says necessarily. Anyone who claims أن مقدار إمامته صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the length of the Prophet's turban كان كذا وكذا, was so and so, min al-zira, of hands length, an yusbitahu bidalil, la budda lahu an yusbitahu bidalilin sahihin, he must bring you an authentic evidence. Wa amma al-iddi'a'u al-mahad fa laysa bishay, but ordinary claiming that it must be like this, there is nothing like that, it's not no value. So that's regarding the length of those imama. And thirdly, he said, al-imam al-Baqiri عبد الرحمن بن عبد الرحيم مباكوري in تحفة الأحوذي, so don't come and say it's Albani that started it. The reason why we have been reading from these past scholars is that people say these things, they are our own scholar Albani say that Turban. No, what he said about Turban, we'll read it to us, it's in his book here, rahimahullah. He said, لَمْ أَجِدْ فِي فَضْلِ الْعِمَامَةِ حَدِيثًا مَرْفُوحًا صَحِيحًا. Mubakuri, he said, لَمْ أَجِدْ فِي فَضْلِ الْعِمَامَةِ حَدِيثًا مَرْفُوحًا صَحِيحًا, I have never seen any hadith linked up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is authentic, that says any person who wears imama will get so reward. There is no any hadith like that. I have never seen that kind of a thing before. وكل ما جاء فيه فإما ضعيفة أو موضوعة. وكل ما جاء فيه فهي إما ضعيفة أو موضوعة. وكل ما جاء فيه فهي إما ضعيفة أو موضوعة. All the ahadith about that if you wear turban, you will get so reward. If you wear turban, so thing will happen to you. If you wear, they are either what? Da'ifa or mawdu'a. Imam Mubarakpuri. لم أجد في فضل الإمامة حديثا مرفوعا صحيحا وكل ما جاء فيه فهي إما ضعيفة أو موضوعة. إذا تحفة الأحوذي volume 5 page 153. This is what he says. Now there are some ahadith. One of the scholars wrote, firstly, this book Hayat al-Albani wa Atharuhu وثناء العلماء عليه by Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Shaybani was written about the biography of Sheikh al-Albani. It was written the last time of Sheikh al-Albani. It's in two volumes. This is the first volume, volume 1. Very good book about the life of Sheikh al-Albani. Because this brother Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Shaybani, after compiling it, he went to Sheikh al-Albani and asked for his permission to read it to him, so that he could correct it or add or remove. So he was doing that. So, but it has one special benefit. In the course of Sheikh telling him about some of the things that have happened to him in life, he was telling him, because of course he lived a life of knowledge, rahimahullah. All his own life was knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And when anybody lives like that, he'll have one major thing about his life. And that is, you will say something, people will refute you. You will refute it again. You understand what I mean? You write a work. People say, no, you are wrong. You write. You too, you will write. They call that rubud. Refutation. He had that, and he had a lot. So this brother had about 13. He had 16 here. Some of these recitations that Sheikh al-Albani wrote, you will never see it in any book except this book. They were not published. They were not published at all. From all of it that I have seen here, there's only one that I know that is published. And that is Ar-Rad ala Ibn Hazmin fi Ibahati Alat al-Tarb. You know Sheikh al-Albani wrote a book, Tahrimu Alat al-Tarb. أو الرد بالوحيين كو على القرضاوي والجدي والصوفية في كذا كذا كذا. It's a very lengthy title, but he shortened it and called it تحريم آلات الطرب. That is the prohibition of musical instruments. So he gave a rod on Ibn Hazmi. That rod is contained in that book now. There is also something I'm seeing here. القول بفناء النار بين الألباني وابن تيمية وابن القيم. Some people have an opinion that hellfire will end one day. Allah will put some people to it, and after the fire will not burn again. Fire will end. Some scholars had that opinion. So Sheikh al-Albani wrote it on the refutation. You know, there is a book, Raf al-Astar, by Imam al-Alusi. So Sheikh al-Albani did the taqdim over 20-something pages and did the ta'liq. So these are the two that I know are published in other than the books. But this brother went, he brought all those things and put it here. So if you have this book, it's like you have all those books. And there is a one by Sheikh Ismail al-Ansari, wrote a refutation against Sheikh al-Albani in one of the issues he raised in Adab al-Zifaf about the use of Azab al-Muhallak. The refutation of Sheikh al-Albani to Ismail al-Ansari in about 120 pages is contained in this book. So you will see Sheikh Ismail al-Ansari's work outside, but you will not see what did Sheikh al-Albani say on that book. You will not see it except in this book. So he had a lot of benefits, I mean, over those people who compiled Sheikh al-Albani's biography later. From those refutation was a refutation he gave to one of the scholars on the use of imamah. He titled his work Al-Imamatu fil Islam, the Sheikh. He titled his work Al-Imamatu fil Islam, the position of wearing the turban in Islam. So Sheikh al-Albani wrote a refutation. He also wrote a refutation against Ghulam Ahmad in this work. So he called it Ar-Rad ala Shaykh Al-Hamid fi Ahadith Al-Imamati fi Al-Islam. That Shaykh was quoting some hadith about Imam. He has a lot of value. Shaykh Al-Bani picked the book and worked on the hadith. The refutation. It's contained here too, about 20 something pages. I hope somebody will translate it so that people will read and make sense. So in it, he compiled all those ahadith that talks about the virtues of wearing imama. Some of them are very funny, so I thought we should read it to us. The first hadith he mentioned here is a hadith that is reported by Imam Ibn Adi and Al-Bayhaqi. It is said to be from Usama ibn Zayd. That it says, اِعْتَمُوا تَزْدَادُوا حِلْمًا اِعْتَمُوا وَيَعْتَبَانْ تَزْدَادُوا حِلْمًا. You will increase in forbearance. That is when you wear turban, your forbearance, your patience at something will increase. So people think, why we have to buy just to bring me shake. You can't even pull a gearbox. The hadith, Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi, don't say Albani, he was quoting those who say it is Maudu. Al-Imam Ibn Jawzi mentioned it in his book, Al-Maudu'at. So, and the person who reported those ahadith, if you pick this book, you find more benefits. Because time is gone. So let's read them. But that hadith is Maudu. Before him, Ibn Jawzi said it, Abu al-Farj. Rahimahullah. The second hadith says, Al-Ama'im Tijanul Arab. Al-Ama'im, turbans, Tijanul Arab. They are the crowns of Arabs. So when an Arab wears turban like this, he's wearing crown. Emir. The hadith is Maudu too. The third hadith, Al-Imamatu ala al-Qalansuwa, Faslum ma baynana wa bayna al-Mushrikeen. If you wear cap, you not put lawani, Faslum ma baynana wa bayna al-Mushrikeen. Is the difference between we and Mushrikun. So if one Mushrik wears turban, now it's Muslim. Do you understand? Al-imamatu ala al-qalansuwa. Faslun is a difference. Ma baynana. Faslu ma baynana. It's not a difference. It's the difference. Ma baynana wa bayna al-mushrikeen. Between we. Not ma. Inna bayna rajli wa bayna shirki. Tarku salah. But now they say it's imama. Taban. That is because of these fabricated narrations. That is why those people who are so stringent on turban, they are so stringent on it. Because they are believing these things, these lies. There are people, if you don't wear turban, if you pray, they will drag you away from the salah. You don't know. They will drag you like this. You start, please go back. Or they go and look for one turban for you. They, in the mosque, they have turban rack. To look for, and the turban used to be very dirty, so they wrap it tight. And it used to be long, you know. So the Imam is saying, "Qad qamat is-salah." The Muazzin is saying, "Qad qamat is-salah." So "Qad qamat is-salah." They are still asking you to tie the turban. Mashallah. La. So that hadith is Maudu too. Al-Imamatu ala al-Qalansuwa, faslu ma baynana wa bayna al-Mushrikeen. That when you tie a turban upon a cap, it is the difference between we and the Mushrikun. يؤطى يوم القيامة بكل كورة يدورها على رأسه نورا. يؤطى يوم القيامة. The one who wears it will be given on the day of Qiyamah. بكل كورة. For every round like this. يدورها على رأسه. That he turns on his head. نور يوم القيامة. So we put in it. MashaAllah. So when you see him, he says نور today. Jabali نور. The top of himself is Jabali نور. No, 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 no. Ad-Din Yusr. Ad-Din Yusr. That hadith is da'if jiddan. Shadid al-da'af. That is another very funny one. It says al-ama'imu tijanu al-arab, like the other one said. That the turbans are the crowns of Arabs. فإذا وضعوا العمائم وضعوا عزهم if they remove the turban like this, their honor is gone. Once they remove turban, bam, no more honor for Arabs. But the one from Djibouti is wearing it at time. Are you there? You are not there. It's not Tijanul Ajam. It is Tijanul Arab. The Ajam wants to claim what is for the Arab. So there are a lot of abatin in the meanings of these narrations itself. What we are saying is that if we want to do the sunnah, let's do the sunnah ala basira. He says, "Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allahi ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani." This is the way to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ala basira. He says, "Qul," say to them, "ad'u ila Allah," I'm inviting to Allah, ala basira, based on knowledge. Not me alone, myself and any person who wants to follow me. So don't put a truck on your head. You say "Unur yamul kiyama" for nonsense that is batil. If you wear turban, because the Prophet used to wear turban, and they didn't say it used to be like Jabal Nur, because you want more Nur. You know Jabal Nur is in Mecca. It's a big mountain in Mecca. So don't wear, put problems on your head. And to say that it must be particular length, there is no any hadith about it. So it means whatever length you can wear, that you can tie on your head and still drop on your shoulder, is sufficient. Not until you try something. People start asking you, "Stars, this your head? Are you not having headache?" Nah, our religion is not like that. وَخَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا. So there is nothing like a wiser wada'uha, wada'u izza. When they remove the turban, they have removed their honor. There are narrations like that. There are others in Sirat al-Hadith al-Sahiha, da'ifa wal-mudu'a. Let's read this one. It's connected to Salah, and they used to say it a lot. Salatun bi imamatin. You know that one, Ko? You used to go to Ijadi Tabligh, Ali. They used to say this one a lot. They used to say all this one. No. They are all fabricated reports. They don't have any basis at all. They don't have any basis. So they say salatun bi imamatin ta'adilu 25 salatan bi ghayri imama. One salat with imama is 25 without imama. That is 25 without imama is equal to 1 with imama. Huh? Even if he does not know how to make ruku, even if he does not know how to perform salah correctly. I tell you this, those people who say it, 90% of them don't know how to pray as Kamakana Yusalli Rasul alayhi salam. Just look at it. The first thing we know is that they don't put their hands on their chest, they drop their hands below their navel. Is that the sunnah? The Prophet put his hands on his chest alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing, when they make takbirat al-ihram, where did they put their hands? On their ears or on the shoulder or above it or like this? Just look at any person praying, brothers. We must learn how to pray, and we must learn how to make wudu. Do you know when people make salah, when people make wudu, and they don't perfect their wudu, it affects the imam while he's praying. The Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated a hadith in Hidayat al-Ruwa, that one day he was performing salah, was in Surah al-Fil, he found it difficult to read it. He was trying, he was going front and backwards, it was difficult. When he ended the salah, he turned and said, "Who amongst you didn't perform his ablution well? Because you are making things difficult for us in salah." So ablution. Ablution, wudu, is making things difficult for imam. How many difficulties do imams have today? Because people playing behind them don't have wudu correctly performed. So pray, perform wudu well, pray well. Don't go and carry imam and put on your head and say 25. Now lie, pure lie. Perform the salah well. صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. That's what he said to us. Don't say because we have one imam and you pray wrongly. He said you have 25. Now lie, oh. My own one is better than 250,000. Was there a man saw somebody praying? Is there a prince? I didn't say, but if you pray like this throughout your life, Allah will not accept it. You know whether that one was there, any imam? He says, "Wa jum'atun bi imamatin ta'dilu 70 jum'atan bi ghairi imama." One Jum'ah with imama is 70 without imama. So if you are performing Jum'ah without wearing turban, 70 times before you can meet the reward of the one who performed Jum'ah with one imam, one Jum'ah with imama. Look at them. Inna al-malaikata la yashhaduna al-jum'ata mu'tamina. This is from Ghaybiyat. And it is not permissible to believe in it unless there are ahadith sahiha. They said that the malaika yashhaduna al-jum'ata mu'tamina. The malaika used to come to Jum'ah, Salatul Jum'ah, with what? With turbans. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَادِ الْعَمَائِمِ. They will continue to pray Allah's blessings on those who are wearing turbans. حَتَّى تَغْرُبَ الشَّمْسِ. Until sun will set on the day of Friday. It's pure light. موضوع. أخرجه ابن النجار بسند إلى محمد بن مهدي المروزي. It's a lie. Still, it's even shameful. How do you know malaika tie turbans? Who told you? Yes. Ashahidu khalqahum. Satuktabu shahadatuhum wa yus'alun. Where are they? Ma ashhadtuhum khalqa as-samawati wal-ard. Wa ma khalqa anfusihim. Wa ma kuntum muttakhiza al-mudillin. When people say something about Allah and His Messenger, they don't know. Malaika came to perform Jum'ah tie turban. They begin to say, oh Allah, bless the people wearing turban. They'll be saying that one until sun will set on the day of Jum'ah. All these things are baseless things. Our religion is not based on these nonsense. They say another one, we'll end with this inshallah. Raka'atani bi imamatin khairun min sab'ina raka'atan bila imama. One raka'ah with imama is better than 70 without imama. They are lies. So if we want to follow the messenger, follow this messenger upon clarity and knowledge, not upon fabrications and falsities. That the one who fabricated it and the one who followed it will regret for on the day of Qiyamah. Because man haddatha anni hadithan yura annahu kazbun fa huwa ahadul kazibain. The one who is telling a people about the Prophet's saying and that it is known to be a lie, he is the second person of the two liars. The first liar is the one who fabricated it. He is the second person. Among kazaba alayya Musa amidan, the one who deliberately knows that it's a lie, and he says it of the Messenger alayhi salatu salam. Falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. Let him look for a place for himself. So after you have known, you have heard this thing, if you still go around to start saying these things about the Messenger, laha ma kasabat for you, and all those ahadith are meant for you. We really have to mention these things with a lot of severity and seriousness, because people go around with this nonsense. They are not from our religion at all. More so, when they look at those who don't wear it, or who are not having the belief they have about those things, are people who don't have Islam. They don't know that they are the ones who don't have Islam. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ السَّلَامُ. أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ السَّلَامَةَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ. If there are one or two questions about Imam, we just think we should discuss this matter well and address it properly today. الحمد لله عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Can it be understood that all indirect religion can such order be made when in Ihram?
He was not in Ihram, awala. If he's in Ihram and the Kufar fight them, they should be fought too. So he said that in Tawbah. If they come and attack you in Haram, fight them in Haram too. So, but if they don't attack you in Haram, I don't know how today, when we are in Ihram, a mushrik will get there to Haram. Because he is prohibited from coming there in the first place. And he finds his way there, then they will take him to the court. The Prophet was acting as the judge. That's why these companions did not kill him themselves. They came to report him to the Rasul. They don't say just because it's more than it. Yes. يَتَحَاكَمُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا بِذَلِكَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. So they went to him to ask him for the ruling to kill him. So if you find something similar to that, you go to the authority. The problem was the authority, so they came to take permission from the authority to kill him. They knew all those things that the prophets knew too about Ibn Khantal. But they did not kill him on their own volition. They came to ask for the permission. So whoever sees something like that today will also report appropriately to the authority. Once you report to the authority, it's over. But you know the companions, when the prophet said, Uktuluhu, they rushed. The first person to kill him. They rushed. So there is difference of opinion on who actually killed him. There were three companions being mentioned. They said the three of them were cutting him until he died. They said one hit him first, then. There are a lot of comments on that. If you go to Fatwa Bari, you see these things. A lot of names were mentioned. So today you can't give such an order. You will, even if you're an ihram, you report such problem. You see a mushrik in Makkah wearing ihram. You are afraid of his Islam and his Iman. You can report to the authority, this person, I think, is a kafir. That's all. You have done your own. So it is left for the authority to, you know, carry out the appropriate ruling on the person. Allahu alam. Alaykum salam.
I wanted to understand if it could be understood that Rasulullah was not in Ihram.
There is enough proof from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari that he was not in Ihram. Did we remember that hadith? Mm-hmm. With which we mentioned as a shahid for the Mursal of Al-Imam. So don't bother whether I was in Ihram or not. I was not in Ihram. And then he was wearing a mikvah. People in Ihram can't wear something on their heads. If I do understand your question. Do I? Okay, ask
it. The thing was in Ihram. Now you ask, you said if there was fight, or maybe the Mushrikun was fighting, if there were no fighting, like if the Khattab was not fighting.
Don't even say Mushrikun. In the early 80s, a person came and declared that he is Muhammad ibn Mahdi. He started killing people inside the haram. They attacked all of them, killed them too, took them to places. Some of them died right there, some of them died later. They were sentenced to death. If you are making a haram, you will see police there with arms. So they are just nearby waiting. If you go to the house of the king, just behind that building, you see in... the color is usually dark green and milk. Behind it, there are soldiers there. Inside it, I've entered the house before. They are gone, waiting there. They hear can like this. You see them there. Do you understand? Yes, for the peace and the security of the place. So if perhaps in the course of shootout or anything, who made that? Some stray bullets, some in order to arrest the assailants. They may be killed, whether people are in Ihram or not. Don't even talk about Mushrikun, Muslims.
In Ihram, we've been prohibited to maybe kill some animals, things like that. So when I read this hadith, I was thinking maybe that order wouldn't have come if it was in Ihram.
No. It would still have come if it was in Ihram and there was need for something like that to happen. For something, a security decision to happen. It would still happen. That's why I gave you the example. Who will be in Ihram? They give the order. If the Amir of Makkah is in Ihram, that is, those people will still give the order to attack them. Because they will say, because we're in Ihram, they leave the people to start killing people. They know they will fight them back. Go back, come on. Says a man dakalahu kana aminan. Do you know who dakalahu is not coming with Amnon? So there is obligation to defend ourselves and the peace to the rest of the people from his own people. Lahu alam. If you read these masail from Imam Ibn Hajar, you will enjoy it more. And perhaps some of these questions will be resolved that you have. Alaykum salam.
And someone put on turban, making it to sleep on the head before you start running. They will need the music to cover the head before you start.
I don't know what you are describing.
No, around the head. But before the dance is turned around,
okay,
the alarm will make it to cover the head before you start running.
I didn't see that in this hadith. That is one thing about knowledge. If we see a narration that shows that we will do it, otherwise say he will turn it around. He said, we'll turn it around our heads. Whether he will now? Yes, it casts. And Imam Ibn Hajar al-Haytami insisted on that, and some others too, like Mubarak Puri, that he used to wear casts on the hand and wore his turban on it. That Imam Ibn Munzir also mentioned that. If you read the Tuhfat al-Ahwad, you see that he wore caps beneath it and then he tied his turbans. There are some funny comments there, that's why I didn't mention it. That it is the mushrikun that wear turbans without a cap. They said it. But in another report, he said that it is the mushrikun that wear caps and turbans. But all of these things are comments. There are no ahadith to say, to establish what it is there. But it's wearing a mikfar under it is established. It's wearing a cap under it is also established. So, but to say first of all, open, I understand it, open up one first, then from the start tying like that. I'm not saying that it is better to do that too. But it's preferable to remain until you can find something that makes you know that you can do that too. Allahu Alam. Alaykum, last question, inshallah. Alaykum,
salam. This is a mikfar.
What? Mikfar?
Yeah. Are they still putting it on because I've not seen it?
You've not seen it. Because the coat of mail, have you seen a coat of mail too? You know what a coat of mail is? Mm-hmm. You know if you watch these old ancient camp cowboy scenes, they used to wear something like iron clothes when they go to war. That's called a dirk. We read a hadith on it, or some ahadith about it. The Torah used to wear it too. So for me, it is that there's a cloth and there's a cap of iron. So the mikfar is iron cap, simply put. Cap, iron, you wear it like a cap. Like this one is made of cloth, cotton, have you? That one is from iron. If you stone it, it will do count. So you wear it under, you now wear a cap. If you like, wear a turban above it. Do you understand? Alaykum salam. On his small finger. Wedding. That one is an innovation. And following kuffar, to put wedding ring on the ring finger is an innovation, and following kuffar is not in Islam. So these two hands, these two fingers, the first finger and the mid finger, we are prohibited from wearing rings by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is established in Sunan Nasa'i from Ali ibn Abi Talib. But the thumb and the small finger, he didn't say anything about the thumb, but he used to wear his own on the small finger. So if you want to wear a ring for which you get reward, wear it on the small finger. Stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.